Good afternoon, my name is Jürgen Steinmetz, joining you from livestream.travel in Honolulu and reporting for eTurbo News. Dr. Elena Garley is our long-term representative and reporter based in New York City, and today she'll be interviewing Jamie Barnett. Jamie is the president of the International Cruise Victims Organization and represents victims of crimes on cruise ships, their families, and friends, as well as individuals concerned with the problem of victimization and disappearances on cruise ships. The organization is lobbying for legislators' reform that could protect cruise ship passengers from crimes and increase the rights of victims of crimes that take place on ships. It'll be an interesting session, so enjoy.
Oh, okay. The hearing was chaired by Congressman Elijah Cummings.
Oh my.
And he was such a champion of ours. His passing was a real blow to all of us. And in the hearing, he ordered that the cruise industry sit down with cruise ship crime victims and hammer out something they could agree on that would make cruising safer. And we all met, a bunch of us from ICV, the cruise industry absolutely agreed to nothing.
Oh my.
And you have to understand, we were asking for things like, could you please put peepholes in the cabin doors, such as a hotel room has and has had for a decade. Can you put safety latches on the door so somebody could open the door a little bit? Do you have rape kits on your cruise ship? No. Could you have them?
No.
No. It took legislation to get things like that accomplished. And that was what was so surprising to Congressman Cummings when we came back, and the cruise lines had agreed to absolutely nothing. There, no headway had been made. And it was clear then that it would take legislation for them to do anything to, and here's a group of people that say anytime a camera gets in front of them or they get in front of a congressman or senator, the stereotypical comment right out of their mouth is passenger safety is our number one priority.
And the passengers buy into that until they run into a problem.
They are vulnerable to being manipulated, you know, because they want to go so badly and have this great vacation, and they're easily, you know, manipulated for the profit of other people.
Well, most recently was a COVID story that originated in Barbados.
Uh-huh.
And so the Center for Disease Control in the US government has halted all the cruise line industry events and cruise and schedule until the end of the year out of the American ports. And so while the cruise ships have been going not full tilt, but certainly taking passengers in Europe, it's really stayed off the immediate radar screen for the American market. They did sail to Greece briefly from a European port, but that stopped quickly because COVID was on board with the passengers, even though they tried to create a bubble. So the people in Barbados bought into the story that the cruise line was now safe, and they could test it out and show that they had again created this very safe space. And so they invited reporters and some passengers and crew to sail out of Barbados. And at Barbados, even though the Caribbean countries have done their damnedest to either dampen the problem or to keep it under control, Barbados decided to step forward because the cruise industry is so important to them to allow the ship to sail with these people. And as you know, within a few days, the bubble was tarnished. One person got sick, it spread, and they aborted the mission, if you will, returned to Barbados. And the people who were not tested positive were permitted to leave that space, not to be quarantined. And why do you think, Jamie, they were not quarantined after getting off the ship, being around a COVID person or persons?
My personal opinion is they didn't want that mess. You know, they wanted to get rid of that and have it gone as quickly as they could. And what amazed me was that their the reports that I got was that they claimed they, while the CDC did not they were not under the rule of the CDC, but they said their protocol was very closely aligned with that of the CDC. There is nothing they did that is anything like what the CDC recommended, which would have been the cruise line should have arranged for private escort from that ship to a facility and then private flights, charter flights right back home. And instead they crowded them in with the public in public transportation to the airport and then on full airplanes back to where they went. How irresponsible can you get?
Exactly, exactly. And they were not quarantined in Barbados for 14 days, even though they had been in close proximity to a COVID-infected person. And the first couple of days of the trip, masks were not required.
That's very closely aligned with the CDC's protocol.
Exactly.
Very.
So, and it was only after some of the media, especially the Americans, started to complain that they put the rule into force. And then by then, of course, it was too late. And what the cruise lines are also trying to say is that they somehow it was not a person that was infected. Somehow the virus just kind of flew onto the ship and somebody happened to breathe and got sick. It wasn't as though they were already sick when they got on the flight, on the ship. And then they sent them back home using airplanes and cabs and limos and whatever to spread the disease. And so I did invite Barbados representatives and they were not interested in communicating their position on this issue.
Shocking.
Yeah, so in addition to all the people that have gotten sick from COVID early in the year, the cruise line is considered a very serious vector for the movement of the virus from one person to another, as well as from one country to another. Can you comment on that? And perhaps you have a story or two from any of the people that you that are part of your organization that you can share.
I have had people call me during early, actually one gentleman was calling me quite a bit during February. He had booked really expensive cruises for his entire family in and around the Asian ports. Mm-hmm. Well, he starts hearing about, you know, what's happening in China and how all the ports are starting to close there, not here, but there. And so he began to call the cruise line and, you know, say, I want to cancel. And they were saying, no, you can't. We can refund your money. We'll look into that. But he was like, no, I want a refund. That was a lot of money. How do I know you're not going to go bankrupt and not be able to cruise ever again? I will lose my money. I want a refund. Why don't you cancel this sailing? That only makes, you're putting people in harm's way. Mm-hmm. And back and forth and back and forth they went. And I touched base with him recently, and they actually did cancel the cruise, obviously, but at the last minute. The cruise line tried to say that he had canceled already.
Oh, so they didn't want to return his money.
Right. They didn't want to return his money. And he said, no, I did not cancel. So it was quite a fight. A lot of people talk about the fact that the princess and the grand princess, had a sailing that had a sick individual on it. So they knew after that they called that ship back, disembarked everyone, and then loaded it back up, which included some people who had originally been on that first sailing, and went off to Hawaii. And that's when all hell broke loose. And there's just no way under the sun the cruise lines can claim they didn't realize what was at risk.
There's so many points of opportunity on a cruise ship for people to get sick. Yeah. One of the things that disturbs me the most, of course, is the absence of adequate ventilation. So no matter what, and the design of the ship.
Right.
So no matter what they do, especially if you have an inside cabin, you are a sitting duck waiting for the flu to come, COVID to visit with you. But once it gets into the system, air conditioning system, the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system, no matter how good the HEPA filters are, once it gets through, it goes through the ship, carrying the virus from cabin to cabin, from person to person. So that's one of the ways that it spreads so rapidly.
Now, I was reading something just this last week that said that quarantining people in their cabins was actually the worst thing that could be done.
Right. And another way, and they didn't realize this when it was happening, they quarantined people in their cabin, and then they had the crew deliver the food to the door, and they were, the crew had the flu, had the had COVID, and so they were carrying it with the food from cabin to cabin to cabin. And then of course the crew quarters are so terrible, so much like sardines in a closed can, that it spreads rapidly throughout the crew.
And you're right. And prior even to COVID, we know that there some of the crew members found the chemicals they had to use to clean so strong and toxic, like when they would have a norovirus out.
Right.
And so it was making them sick. So they would just pour the chemicals out and refill their bottles with water.
That's exactly right.
So you're not even really, when the cruise line now talks about, we had proper, strict disinfecting protocol. How do you know?
That's right. No one was checking.
Right.
And they have not yet to change the surfaces of their in their cabins or in the crew on the ship at all to being antimicrobial. So there's no plan, and they certainly has not impacted on any, made any changes that change the materials, whether it's the fabrics of the on the chairs or the materials used to build their tables. None of those surfaces have been changed to be antimicrobial. What are other touch points? What are other ways that the ship act as a vector for the pandemic?
Well, you start from the beginning, and people leave their homes. They go in whatever kind of transportation they go on to get to the terminal. Some fly there. And then they're boarded, all together onto the ship. when they're on the ship, it's hard to imagine a real safe, you know, masked, socially distanced setting. But then they get off, if they go to ports, they get off in the ports, they go to all the little shops, they go on excursions, lots of people there. Then they each get back on, and whoever they've come in contact with, is then brought into the mix of things all together. And then they go and they get off the ship, go back home, and go through that transportation channel all over again. So there's lots and lots of places now, just
right. It was spread right starting in February and March.
Yeah.
All of those people. Now you have you and the organization have come up with a list of a wish list that that you would like to see implemented that would benefit passengers. Can you share with us some of that information?
Yes, I'm gonna say that there's two separate issues at play for us, certainly right now, and the most important is COVID and the protocol and the standards that we think the cruise lines need to adopt to keep passengers or to hopefully make passengers safe, even in COVID world. But besides COVID, there are plenty of other measures we'd like to see the cruise lines take on, and mm-hmm. and you know, we know by history that they're not going to voluntarily do
right.
That it'll have to be legislated. But we want to see the reporting, crime reporting done much more thoroughly.
Well, do you think that working cameras on board a ship would be useful?
That's a thought. And allowing passengers who have been victimized on a cruise access to that footage is important. One of the things I think people really need to know, and the cruise lines really fight, and they have so much money, and you have to understand, like you said so beautifully, we're the only ones that are going to Washington and saying, you know, here's my daughter who died on a cruise ship. Here's my story. Here's how she died. I'm here because me and my friends here, who've also lost loved ones, don't want to see this happen to anybody else. And so here, I'm going to become re-victimized by having to tell this story of what happened over and over and over, but we do it. And then when we get up and leave that congressperson's office, right behind us comes the lobbyist from the cruise industry. And, you know, offers all kinds of financial support to that congressperson or senator, and quickly our story just vanishes.
Give us some of the details of what you've introduced to the industry, which they have ignored.
One of the crime statistics that we'd like to see broken down, the number one crime that occurs on a cruise ship is sexual assault.
Yes.
And so very, very, very few of those cases ever go to court. And even fewer are successfully prosecuted.
Right. What about children? Are children really safe?
No. That's another one. But here's the issue. In that crime reporting, we want the public to know how many of those sexual assaults are committed against minors. Right. And the cruise industry will just fight tooth and nail and get out the really big bucks to keep legislators from agreeing to that. But we know, thanks to Senator Rockefeller and a hearing he had several years ago, I believe it was his 2012 hearing, that the actual percentage is about 33-34% of all sexual assaults are committed against minors. So that's certainly something. And the cruise lines, you know, I think are, again, very easily manipulate vulnerable people into, you know, being drawn into the ads that show and say that everybody's safe, just relax, have your fruity drink, let your kids go off to the kiddie camps. And what happens is the coming and going from and to those kiddie camps, you know, kids get...
I know parents have said to me when I give them a heads up when they're taking their beautiful children on board, and I said, are you chipping your kids so you know where they are all the time? Are you giving them phones or some other way to communicate if they get into trouble? Are you doing any surveillance of the children, or are you just sending them blithely off? Oh, we're on a cruise, they say to me. And
what
it's, oh yes, what could possibly happen? And they don't understand that person, male or female person in the next cabin, just because they have the same amount of money to pay for the cabin, doesn't mean that they're not predators.
Good guy.
They are predators, and they're investing their money in this cruise in order to find vulnerable children whose parents are at the pool or the bar, and right, the children are unaccompanied. So
yeah, it's quite tragic. And, you know, I often caution people when we travel and speak at different conferences and workshops that you wouldn't at home just send your kids to somebody's house you didn't know anything about.
Exactly.
You know, you would have references, you would know who else they sat for, all kinds of things about them. And it just, people have to realize it's not any, it's a cruise ship now is a city.
That's right.
It's big. There's no police, you know, there's no independent police. No. And you cannot let your guard down. You just can't, despite the ads you see and the claims the cruise line makes, because they love you. They love you when you're getting, you know, all ready to go and you've paid your money. But if something happens to you, they're not your friend anymore.
They are your enemy.
Yeah.
There is a morgue on board every ship. People are surprised to learn that. Why is there a morgue on board every ship?
Because people die. You know, there are illnesses, and the medical care is another concern of ours. The quality of care, the level of certification that the doctors have, and the cruise ships operate under the auspices of the fact that they consider their medical professional personnel to be contract laborers.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't consider themselves medically are liable for the medical care that you get. The courts have actually overturned that, but the cruise lines tend to ignore things like that a lot of time, like fines. They just ignore them. So they operate that way regardless. So we're really fighting for increased certification, like advanced cardiovascular life support training or advanced trauma life support training in the emergency setting. Things like that to better protect passengers.
And then the doctors may not be, they are trained or educated in their own countries, but they're not licensed doctors from the United States or a other major health or medical center like a European country or Australia, New Zealand. Right. They're usually from the smaller, less developed, less rigid medical educational systems. And so if you are coming on board with a potentially serious illness, you are not likely to find the medical attention that you actually need. And there you are, captive on a ship. You just can't walk out of a hotel room and say, taxi, taxi, take me to the best hospital in London or Paris. You are in the middle of an ocean and you are desperately ill and you have no access to your medical facility and no opportunity to get your prescriptions, your meds. So you are at their beck and call.
Another thing, and a little bit of my story that is in keeping with what we're talking about. When my daughter had her medical emergency, she was not breathing, and her boyfriend, who she was with, went running out screaming, "My girlfriend's not breathing! My girlfriend's not breathing!" Someone called 911. It took quite a while for someone to show up, and there was no crash cart. There was no anything like that. The woman just strolled down the hall with a little oxygen tank under her arm.
Oh, my Lord.
And then it took another 20 minutes to get the physician there with a defibrillator and hook her up. I've tried to find out, do ships now have defibrillators all around the way airports do or hotels do or almost any public buildings do? I'm not certain that they do, but they certainly didn't then. And they did none of the things that an emergency room would do, Narcan, all of the emergency measures to get someone breathing and get the heart going again. So she died.
Oh,
and she, even though there was a morgue, like you said, on the ship, was taken off the ship in Mexico and left there. No one stayed with her. No one from the cruise line, none of the people she was on the cruise with stayed with her. She was, I was notified, but there was no
assistance
notified when I was. Of course, I wasn't on the cruise,
right.
But I was actually on vacation myself in Florida. And I was,
amazed.
So my son went down to Mexico to be with her, and they ended up embalming her in Mexico.
Oh, my.
And then we didn't know at all why she died.
Wow.
And then she, to be transported back into the United States, had to be embalmed after they autopsied her. And so we had none of that bodily fluid, none of those precious fluids to really work with. And people don't understand, the kind of trauma.
And they didn't even notify you?
They did.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. But I was in Florida. I couldn't get to Mexico.
Right.
And, but my son went and I flew home the next day, but it was almost a week before her body came back to the United States. And so that's one of the things that I fight really hard for, is that anyone dying on a cruise ship, be allowed to be put in that morgue and to come back to the United States.
Right.
Rather than,
left in another country
to whatever local territorial jurisdiction they're in, considers standard.
Well, as we're running, I think we're running out of time. I really haven't been watching that closely, but I wanted to talk about the amount of air pollution and water pollution that the that the cruise ships contribute to our environment, since we're hopefully moving into a green period with our new president. Perhaps he and his team will focus on the pollution problems created by the cruise ships. Certainly they have polluted the waters in the Caribbean and other countries because they dump the untreated sewage directly into the oceans, killing the reefs and killing the fish and killing all the other flora and fauna, destroying in some countries like Tonga and Vanuatu, destroying all the hotels opportunities that are built on the ocean, because people come to these oceanside hotels because of the water. And now the water is polluted to the point where in some cases you can't even go into the water that's in front of your hotel. And on certain sides of the cruise ship, the air is so polluted, you might as well be in the middle of Beijing in the summer for the numbers of particles that are put into the air from the cruise ship that again are not filtered as they leave the ship.
Yes, and I'm certainly not an expert on the environmental impact that cruise ships have on our planet, but I know it should be a huge concern of everyone's. The amount of sulfur dioxide and all of the pollutants that they emit, even now, where they are idling in Europe, in the Caribbean, they are putting out so much toxic emissions that for that local community, it's horrific. For the rest of the planet right now, it's great because they're right. They're not out there destroying all the white right whales and the coral reefs and ocean water has improved. It's amazing the things that have improved since they're not sailing.
Exactly. Also, there's fires and explosions on board cruise ships. People, of course, are getting food poisoning because it's very difficult to store all that food and keep it refrigerated, keep it fresh, which is why one of the first things that people talked about was eliminating the buffet, because so many germs and are transmitted through the buffet and the food spoils as it sits out in the environment and in the atmosphere. And then people pick over it and sneeze over it. And so it's a great deal.
It's a little queasy just thinking about it.
Oh, and then ships are able to get stranded on, and then you need to be air-vacked or helicoptered off your ship because it's gotten caught on a rock or something else that makes it stranded.
Yeah. And one of the things that, just first and foremost, is that I don't think people realize, and let's just talk about Americans in this instance for a minute, don't realize that if they buy their ticket, from what they think is an American company,
right.
that it's Carnival. Their headquarters are right there in Miami. That's right. An American company. And I go there and I get on this ship in America, and then it's going to travel around and it's going to come back to America. I'm good. They have no idea that when they get out beyond U.S. territorial waters, they have just lost every right and every law that protects them as a U.S. citizen, because then they're on what's known as the high seas, and the jurisdictional. I think that the investigative agency in charge of anything that happens to someone, an American on a cruise ship on the high seas, is the FBI. And I think that if you interviewed 100 different FBI agents, you would get 100 different explanations of how the jurisdictional procedure goes. Because if you're an American and you're raped or you're murdered on a cruise ship on the high seas, and the next port you go into is notified. But so is the ship's country of registry. Mm-hmm. None of the ships are registered in America.
Right, for the following reason, which is tax.
To avoid taxes, to yes. avoid laws.
Right, and the labor laws, they don't have
labor laws, safety laws, OSHA standards, all of that. And so they're notified that flag state, their registry, the country they're registered in. And of course, they're usually countries that are very small and underdeveloped, and they don't have the means or the willingness to come investigate what happened to some American, 2,000 right. miles away. And so then the port that they enter into, say it's Mexico, the captain has to notify that port that a crime scene is entering their country, their territory. And they then have the right to come on, trample through the crime scene, and investigate, and so on with every port you go to, right. until you finally get back to the United States, when the FBI finally boards the ship and then says, hey, we got no evidence. I don't.
Right, exactly.
We got nothing.
Very,
so
very.
You get no justice.
No.
None whatsoever.
Well, if they want to get in touch with you, Jamie, and share some of their experiences or lend their support or insight into the difficulties and challenges of either being a passenger or even being an executive or a crew member on a cruise ship, where do they reach you?
Our website is www.internationalcruisevictims.org. And that's a good way to find any of us. Just go on that website or find us on Facebook. We have internationalcruisevictims.org Facebook page as well.
Well, thank you very much. It's been wonderfully enlightening, and thank you for educating us.
Thank you for allowing us to get that story out, Eleanor. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Unknown caller.
Yes, it's Eleanor. Oh, hi. I'm doing fine. I haven't had to take, I got them from the pharmacy, but I haven't needed them. Oh, okay. And the antibiotic, and just take one of the antibiotics. No, I don't think so. Okay. Yep. 917-306-9893. Okay, thank you so much for the call. Okay, thank you, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition from livestream.travel. We will be back with more updates from eTurbo News soon. If you have any questions or you'd like to be featured in one of our upcoming editions, simply go to livestream.travel and click on contact. For more information on the Travel News Group, publisher of eToba News, Hawaii News Online, Travel Wire News, and many others, go to travelnewsgroup.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back soon.